And that's what happens when you're planning different services, picking out different hymns. Eventually, you cross your cross references and get one of them confused. But that's all right. Both are good, good hymns. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn with us and find your place in the book of Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And this evening, we're dealing with an issue that is prevalent in our society today, and it is the idea, the promotion of a culture and a society that seeks to hold people to impossible standards. I mean, you turn around and you look at really any situation, and especially it seems more so today than it did even when I was growing up in the 90s among kids and among teenagers and among college-age students. There's a culture out there that they want you to basically measure up. They want you to basically meet their standard for what they say is the standard. And if you don't meet that standard, well, then you're all sorts of wrong. You're all sorts of not right. You're all sorts of strange and weird and peculiar and everything else. But as Christians, as God's people, we need to learn that we need to view ourselves not through the lens of the world and not through the lens of what people in the world say we should be, but we need to view ourselves through the lens of what does God say about us? What does God's word say about us? What does the creator of the universe, what is his standard? What is his expectation? And are we aiming for that? Are we reaching for that? Are we going after that? And then we need to embrace that. And we need to embrace that truth. And we need to embrace it over the insecurities and we need to embrace worship over emptiness and over vanity. And, you know, just here recently, they did a remake on the movie Snow White. And it was a live action remake of the, so instead of the cartoon, it was with actual live people. And, you know, but in the same movie, you know, the I guess it's the queen. She goes in front of the mirror and, you know, she wants to ask the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And, you know, that's the society we live in today. Society wants all of us to be, you know, the fairest of them all. And they want to hold us to that impossible standard. And we need to see, well, what does God say? What does his word say? What is his standard for us? And there are several things we see tonight that we'll get into. But you're there, Psalm 139. And notice there, if you would, now let's begin at verse number 13. Psalm 139, verse number 13 and 14. The Bible says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." And so tonight we're talking about the impossible standards that the world puts on people today. And when you really get to it, the impossible standards that they promote, really, it all just becomes and gets to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is this, that yes, cultural pressure contributes to it. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what it really is spiritual in its nature. It's spiritual in its root. And, you know, I don't know how many of you here are on Facebook or, you know, but, you know, Mandy and I, we have Facebook and we have social media. And, but, you know, today you have social media, you have entertainment, you have different fashion industries, and all of these things, they promote unrealistic, airbrushed ideals. In fact, you go on my Facebook today. I enjoy video games, and they just announced, and I know none of you will probably care about this, but they just announced a new James Bond video game. And so I took the picture that they put out as James Bond, and I went and I put that picture in ChatGPT, and I put my picture alongside of James Bond, and I told ChatGPT, imagine me as James Bond. And so it spit out a picture of me as James Bond. And so now that is my profile picture on Facebook. So if you're scrolling, you see my name, you think, that picture don't look like him. Don't worry, that's me. Now, no one has hacked my account. That is me. But that's part of the society we live in, you know. Especially, again, I go back to children and teenagers and all the rest. And you know, they're on Instagram and everything else. And everything has to be perfectly, you know, the perfect photo, the perfect angle, the perfect lighting, the perfect this, the perfect that, the perfect amount of makeup. And, you know, as a guy, I don't understand the whole thing with, you know, makeup and all the rest. So I can't pretend to understand that. But I know that in certain circles that, you know, if you don't meet the social media expectation, you're going to be talked about. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be made fun of. And, you know, and it doesn't just stop at children or teenagers. I mean, it's even, you know, with adults and the things that adults face. You know, they post something on, you know, their Facebook or whatever, and you know, if not just in the right light or whatever, now they have coworkers that that criticize and make fun and, you know, all the rest. And so we're constantly bombarded with these social and cultural pressures to fit in. And again, young people especially are constantly bombarded with images and messages that sow dissatisfaction, that they sow comparison. Well, you know, you're not as pretty as so-and-so, or you're not as handsome as so-and-so, and they feed into that. And the same is true for even adults. But deeper than the external pressure is the internal condition, the heart that longs for acceptance. And I don't care if you're 10, 15, 25, 35, 60, 50, we all have a desire in our heart to be accepted. We all have a desire that, hey, you know, we have a group of friends or so-called friends and a group of people we know. We all have a desire that we want to be accepted, that we want to fit in, that we want to just be accepted. But, you know, and, you know, eventually we'll get to this, but, you know, the best thing you can realize is that at some point, not everybody's going to accept you. You're not going to fit in with everybody. By the way, as a Christian, nor should you. Not everybody should accept you. You shouldn't fit in everywhere that other people fit in certain places. There should be a difference, but it still doesn't change the truth. We all have a desire to be accepted. We all have a desire to fit in. But this struggle, and again, we're talking about body image. This body image struggles often reveal the fear of man. It often reveals the fear of man. Look, if you would, Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Notice there, if you would, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Now that phrase there, snare, means it's a trap that leads to insecurity. That's what the snare is. You know, when you start worrying about, well, what does this person think? Or what does that person think? Well, all of a sudden, you're starting to be ruled by fear. And you start to allow your actions to be dictated by what somebody else is thinking or what somebody else is going to say. But then notice what the verse goes on to say in verse number 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but notice what it says. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, again, that goes back to what I just said a few moments ago. Stop worrying about what other people think. Eventually, you're going to find out, again, you're not going to fit in everywhere. You're not going to be accepted by everybody. But guess what? It doesn't matter if you're accepted by everybody. It doesn't matter if you fit in anywhere. Because if you put your trust in the Lord, you're going to be safe. And guess what? If you put your trust in the Lord, guess what? You're accepted by the Lord. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you've put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're accepted by Him. And one day when we get to heaven, He's going to welcome you home. And He's going to throw open the door. And He's going to welcome us home. And guess what? Before He lets us into heaven, guess what He's not going to do? He's not going to take our phone. And He's not going to look at our phone and check our Facebook and see how many friends we had. He's not going to check our phone and see how many social circles we were a part of. He's not going to check our email or our calendar and see how many dates on the calendar we had filled in with something to do, somewhere to go, someone to hang out with, and how many friends we had, and how many people we were accepted by. No, because when He looks at us and He welcomes us into heaven, guess what He just looks for? The blood of His Son applied to our hearts, and he welcomes us in. He welcomes us home. You know, you've heard me talk about it several times over the years that, you know, in a church like this, that we can have people of different ages, of different backgrounds, of different races, of different socioeconomic backgrounds. We can have rich and poor and middle class and in between. We can have young, old. We can have fat. We can have skinny. We can have tall. We can have short. We can have somebody that's a CEO or an executive of a company. We can have somebody that's just a lay person doing a basic 9-to-5 job. And we can have all these people in one place coming together to worship God. And what makes that those people, what is it that they have in common? Well, it's not their job. It's not their age. It's not their friend group. It's not what they've done. It's not their Facebook. It's not their whatever the world says they need. No, it's the fact that I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and you trusted Jesus as your Savior. And that is what we have in common. And that is what brings us together. There's an old hymn, and I think it's in our hymn books, but it's blessed be the tie that binds. And that's what ties us together tonight, is the Lord Jesus Christ, is His blood on the cross of Calvary. Fear of what others think. You know, that drives perfectionism. I fall into that trap of wanting to be perfect. When something goes wrong, it eats at me. When something, you know, doesn't go the way it's supposed to, especially after I've you know, practice it and went over it and all the rest, that trips me up for the rest of the day. Why? Because again, I want to be perfect. And again, it's something that we all fall into the trap of. But fear of what others think drives peer pressure. Oh, well, others are doing it. I must do it as well. Performance-based worth. I have to perform. I have to be constantly on. I have to do in order to be accepted. Listen, if anybody says, hey, you have to do A, B, and C to be my friend, then they're not really your friend. If they say you have to do A, B, and C to hang out with me, you don't want to be their friend anyway. You don't want to hang out with them anyway. They should want you and want to be around you just for who you are, just for the pleasure of your company. Now you say, Pastor, you don't know my personality. Not too many people want to hang around me. Hey, guess what? Sometimes I'm in that same boat. You know, I know what I'm like sometimes. I know sometimes I'm not the best and the most pleasant to be around. But I shouldn't have to perform in order to be accepted. I should be accepted just based on, hey, I've been created in the image of God, and you have been created in the image of God. Again, teens and young people especially, they seek validation by chasing worldly beauty. But it's a never-ending, exhausting cycle. Years ago, there was a movie. It was, I never seen it, but I got the basic gist of it. And the movie was called Mean Girls. And it was basically about, a high school clique of girls that's all they were about. It was about the glamour and the beauty. And if the other girls didn't measure up, they weren't welcome in their friend group. And the same goes on even today. A couple weeks ago, we talked about transgenderism. And oftentimes what that leads to and is a dissatisfaction with one's appearance. That's all it is. And a dissatisfaction with appearance can signal deeper spiritual hunger. Again, many wrestle with identity and their self-worth because they are not fully satisfied in Christ, because they have not yet accepted and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and their hearts that were created to worship God. By the way, that's at the end of the day, that's what our hearts and why we were created, to worship God. The old Westminster Catechism asks the question, what is the chief end of man? To praise and honor and glorify God, and to do so forever. Our hearts have been created to worship God. But instead of worshiping God, we allow culture and we allow the society to turn us to false gods, like popularity. You know, anybody remember their old high school yearbook? Anyone in here ever voted Mr. Popular or Most Popular? Yeah, me either. I wasn't voted Most Popular either. But you know, they gravitate towards popularity. You know, thinness. You know, I mean, you ever meet some people, you know, and they're so skinny they turn around, they disappear. And I mean, and that's what society teaches. You know, you have to be a certain way. You have to look a certain way. You have to fit this certain mold, or beauty. You know, they walk around and they have 20 pounds of makeup on. And then when they finally take the makeup off, they're a totally different person underneath. Hey, guess what? With or without makeup, you're exactly who God made you to be. And guess what? You don't need to, you know, cover it up. Years ago, my pastor, he always used to joke about, you know, bald people, right? And, he would make the joke, you know, well, God, he only covers the worst heads with hair. He leaves His best for all to see. And you know, and then in the Bible it talks about how He has every hair on our head numbered, and you know, some of us, we just make it easier on Him, and you know, He doesn't have much to count. But you know, today, you know, sometimes people make fun of, you know, bald people, bald-headed people. You know, just point them to the account in Scripture where God sent three bears to eat the ones who messed with the bald prophet of God. And you know, but again, we seek this approval, and, you know, we try and do something to gain the approval. And when this happens, it becomes idolatry, because what we do is, well, now we start to place man's opinion above God's truth and upon and above what God has said in His Word. And so we see the heart of the matter. Then secondly tonight, we see the healing of the heart. We see the healing of the heart. Go back to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, because our true worth tonight is found not in the culture, but it's found in Jesus. Our true worth is found in Christ. Notice again what Psalm 139 and verse 14 says. Psalm 139 and verse 14, the Bible says, "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to know tonight, you are a custom, one of a kind, intentional creation. There's not another one like you in all the world. And guess what? For some of us, we need to be glad that we're the original model. That we're the only... Could you imagine if there were two of me running around somewhere? That's pretty scary of a thought. Could you imagine if there were two of you running around somewhere? That'd be a scary thought. But in Christ, you are fully known. You are deeply loved. You are eternally secure, regardless of what you look like, and regardless of what society and what culture and what labels they put on you. Because it's the cross that declares your value. It's Jesus who died for you. And not because you looked a certain way, because you dressed a certain way, because you spoke a certain way, because you had a certain number of friends, or because you had a certain friend group you hung out with. No, He died for you because you are His. You are His creation. And it's the cross that declares your value. Identity in Christ frees us from striving for worldly approval. Again, I feel bad for teenagers. They have to, and we have to teach them to cast out the idol of perfectionism and rest in the perfection of Christ. And listen tonight, you're here tonight. Guess what? You may never look like culture's ideal. You may never look like culture's picture of what a man should look like. You may never look like what society's picture of a woman might look like, but you are made for a greater purpose, and that is to glorify God. Now you say, "Pastor, but I'll never be on a magazine cover." That's okay. You can magnify the name of Jesus in this world. And that is lasting beauty. And real change is something that starts in the heart. It doesn't start in the mirror. You remember that story of Snow White. "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?" Look, if you would, Matthew chapter 6. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." See, we need to make sure we're not storing treasures on earth, but that we're storing treasures in heaven. Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is going to be. And again, this isn't about a body change, but it's about a heart change that comes from God's Word. Look, if you would, Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter 1. And notice, if you would, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And then Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." As Christians tonight, we must meditate on truth. We must renew our minds and not be conformed to this world. Because it's God's truth that gives us stability in a world of instability. It's God's truth that gives stability in a world of unstable feelings. Again, you've heard me say it any number of times. Feelings are fickle. Your feelings are fickle. You know, you wake up some mornings and guess what? You don't feel like waking up. You feel like sleeping in. But you know you got to get up and start the day and get out and get to work and run your errands and do what it is you need to do that day, or nothing's going to get accomplished. Sometimes you wake up on a Sunday morning and you don't feel like coming to church because you've worked all week, and sometimes Sunday might be your only day to sleep in. Feelings are fickle. Feelings are like the wind. They blow any which way. And that's why we don't listen to our feelings. We listen to truth. We let ourselves be guided by truth, because feelings will cause us to be not be stable. But God's truth will be like that rock that we can build ourselves on. Again, building your life on feelings is like building on sand. Truth gives you a sure foundation. That's why you need to choose your friends wisely. Even as an adult, You need to make sure you're choosing your friends wisely. You know, growing up, when we had kids in youth group or for like patch club or whatever, one of the truths we used to teach them was that if you show me your friends today, we'll show you where you'll be in 10, 15, 20, 25 years. That's why we try and teach them when they're young, surround yourselves with the right friends so that you don't let them drag you astray, so that when you're older, you're sticking by the truth. Because if you feed, if they feed your insecurities, they're not helping you grow it. Listen, if you surround yourself with people who just tell you what you want to hear, then you're never going to grow. You need to surround yourself with people that they'll challenge you. They'll help you grow. They'll stretch you. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, as does the countenance of a friend. And that's what we need. We need to be iron for one another. Iron sharpening iron. You know, bullies, they may say cruel things, but God says that we are loved, chosen, and beautifully made. And so what can we do then? Here's some final application tonight. Many, whether you know it or not, young or old, it doesn't matter, but many are silently battling insecurity. And people need to know that they're not alone. A friend of mine who I've talked to recently, Pastor Ryan, he always says this, healing is possible in Christ. Healing is possible in Christ. God, He can take a broken view of ourself. He can redeem it, and He can replace it with truth and with hope. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's God's view that matters most. You're here tonight, and God made you. And He did so without mistake. Your body, your personality, your features, all of them. You know, some of you here tonight, you might be battling sickness or some other things. Everything that makes you you, God, He handcrafted it. It's handcrafted by Him. Look, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, and notice verses 3 and 4. First Peter 3, 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price." See tonight, being made by God, we have an inner beauty, a gentle and quiet spirit is precious to God. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 31:30 tells us this: "Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." You know, we can meet a lot of charming people. We can meet a lot of people we think, man, they are the most beautiful of beautiful people we've ever seen. Man, they are the fairest of them all. And it can be deceitful. It can be vain. But where do they stand with the Lord? Where do they stand with God? Because those that fear the Lord, she shall be praised. Those that fear the Lord, those are the ones that deserve our praise. Those are the ones that deserve our attention. Those are the ones that deserve our admiration. People who fear, and that word fear there in Proverbs, it doesn't mean a shaking in your boots type of fear. No, it means a reverence. Those who revere and awe the Lord, those are the ones who deserve our attention. Your purpose tonight, my purpose tonight, is not to be admired. Our purpose is to glorify. Our body is not an ornament. It's an instrument for service, for worship, and joy in God. Let the Word of God shape how you see yourself. Not Facebook, not YouTube, not Twitter, not TikTok, not magazines, not mean comments from somebody that barely knows you. Let the Word of God shape how you see yourself. And then walk in confidence. Listen, not because of how you look. Listen, I'm not fooling. We just got a text message today. We submitted Ace for a dog calendar. And we just got a message. He was accepted into the dog calendar. He is Mr. October in the dog calendar. Well, I'm of no mindset. Guess what? I'm not making any calendars. Okay? You know, you ever see those, those fireman calendars? I'm not making one of those fireman calendars. You know, and I'm not trying to. Because that's not my goal. Oh, my soul. We'll talk about that later. But that's not our goal. We're not to walk in confidence because of how we look. Turning heads and stunning people. But listen, we need to walk in confidence because of who we belong to. And we belong to the Creator of the universe. And He proved our value 2,000 years ago when He sent His Son to die on a cross for you and for me. And that is where our value comes from tonight. Not in what the world says we're supposed to be, but what does God say we're supposed to be? And if we're pleasing Him, then who cares what the world says? Who cares what the world says we're missing out on? If we're pleasing Him, that's what matters. So this week, this month, this year, let's be a people that, you know what, we don't worry about what the world says about us. We just realize we're here to please God, to honor God, and to glorify God. And if we'll do that, one day we'll get to heaven and we'll be welcomed home and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's what we should all want to hear. Well done. Let's pray.